Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying, Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Now, the Albanese Labor government is investing $1,771.2 million to fund dozens of new place-based employment support projects for First Nations people under the Indigenous Skills and Employment Program, ICEP. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Deadly Sister. We have Tina Akaba, Program Coordinator, ICEP, Indigenous Youth Coach Project. Tina, good morning. How are you, sis?
Good morning, Trevor. Well, thank you.
Good. Before we start, my sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
So I'm actually a Torres Strait Islander living in Cairns, from a little island in the top western Torres Strait, Duan Island.
Duan Island. Okay, fantastic, my sister. How long have you been in the role as a program coordinator for ICEP Indigenous Youth Coach Project?
I've been in the program since June last year.
All right, fantastic. You enjoying that journey?
I'm loving it.
Loving it. Fantastic. So we're talking about, look, money's a tool. There's good money at the table, $170 million. Tell me the services that ICEP provide. Tell us how you work with our mob in regarding training and regarding employment, please, sis.
So our program is based on activities that encompass Empower Me, which is individual case management, looking at helping them with their personal growth, building confidence, resilience, and goal setting. Another part of that activity is Skilling Me, which is focusing on their lifestyle choices, having a real good look at it, their well-being, their general health, financial planning, their nutrition, and also assisting them with, you know, some of those qualities that will help them get employed, such as driver licensing, how to get around pre-employment checks, and, you know, the other IDs such as, you know, the 18 plus cards and general referrals to training and education as well. And lastly, the Employ and Support Me, which is focused on their job readiness, focusing on and developing their soft skills, their problem solving skills, communication, time management skills, and their reliability if they were ever to get a job.
Oh, fantastic. And are we setting them up for certain industries or is it open across the board?
It is open across the board, but the industries that we are looking at are agriculture, hospitality. Another one of those is health, the health sector as well.
Yes. And a lot of those industries are working in their communities, hey?
Yeah,
which is great. Which is great, which is good. Fantastic. And it's open, of course, for girls and boys. And what ages
and
are we talking?
Yep, girls and boys are aged between 15 and 24.
15, 24.
But that doesn't mean, you know, we don't help those who don't, I guess, qualify for our criteria because our motto is no young person is left behind.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. And in your staff as a program coordinator, you have male and females working with the mob?
Yes, I do. I currently have one male youth coach. I have a female youth coach as well. They're both based here in Cairns. And I've got one in Pomperow as well. And I've got a job coach as well that works here in Cairns.
All right, fantastic. And when we talk about communities, you're based here in Cairns. What are the communities that you attend?
So we have outreach centres in, obviously, the Cairns hub here.
Yes.
Yarrawa. Karanda, Mariba, Koenyama, and Pomperow.
Okay, fantastic. Any of this sort of work for Torres Straits?
No, not the Torres Strait, just the Cairns and communities only at the moment.
All right, well, that's fine. The beginning's half done. That's fantastic. Yeah, well, thank you for your
program. So
yes, okay.
We're hoping to, you know, get ourselves out further once, or if we ever get established.
Yeah, well, build it strong, make it deadly. So then that means it's a viable vehicle and it works. And that's what the project's all about regarding the start-off project. So make it happen, my sister. Good yarning with you. Thank you for the yarn. And big shout-out to your mob there and your crew, your team, and to all our Delhi mob out there. Get educated and get a job and get a career happening for you and for your family. And thank you for the yarn, Tina.
No worries, Trevor. Thank you very much.
Take care, bud. Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there, Tina Akaba. Her name is Program Coordinator, ICEP, Indigenous Youth Coach Project. And we're talking about the Indigenous Skills and Employment Program, ICEP. And the Albanese government, Labor government, invested $171.2 million to fund dozens of new place-based employment support projects for First Nation people under the Indigenous Skills and Employment Program, ICEP. So fantastic. Creates a pathway, and that's what it's all about. And look, another vehicle we can use for closing the gaps when we talk about employment and what have you. And then when you've got money on the table, and you can talk about also accommodation and having your own house, unit, flat, whatever case may be. That's what it's all about. Beginning's half done. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black Yarn with the Bully One. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country as BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob, National Talk Black.
Wamraka Moses, yen yen wala, wala yepone yepuj, ngara bura fera yumana yala. Ngāra bura whera yu mana yala yala. Ngāra bura whera yu mana yala yala. Ngāra bura whera yu mana. Bura whera yu mana. Bura whera yu mana yala yala. Yenduk peku Jesu, brau bukana yumana, ngaura bura fera yumana yala. Ngaura bura fera yumana yala yala. Ngaura bura fera yumana yala yala. Ngaura bura fera yumana, bura fera yumana. Bura fera yumana yala yala. Ngaura bura fera yumana yala yala. Ngaura bura fera yumana yala yala. Ngaura bura fera yumana. Bura fera yumana. Bura fera yumana yala yala.
Darkest before the dawn, I can hear the nightingale sing her sweet song, beckoning on and on for a brand new day. I'ma wait up and stay up till the early morn. It's a brand new day. Yeah.
day.
National Talk Black.
Oh, the southeast wind will blow all around us, and the winter wind can chill us to the bone. We will sail the Torres Strait and East Coast waters in working time.
Yes, a very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right. Internet use grows in remote First Nation communities, but costs still a barrier. Affordability is limiting uptake, and digital inclusion initiates are improving access. We're going to catch up yarn with Daniel Featherstone, study lead author on this space. Daniel on online. Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
Good, Trevor. Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about internet use growth in remote First Nation community, which is fantastic. We are in the 21st century. We're talking about information highway, but the cost is still a barrier for our mob out there in communities, yes?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's great that everyone can get access to internet more nowadays to, you know, expanded mobile coverage and more Wi-Fi. But what we've seen in our research going out to communities over the last 3 years is that the amount of money that people are spending in their household on communications has just gone up, you know, in some places by, you know, sort of nearly $100 a month for the household. And that's on top of all of the other costs of living issues they deal with.
Well, and then when we're talking about online, what have you, talking about mobile phones, we're talking about consumers, our mob in the communities, are probably on credit.
Pretty much everyone that we've spoken to. So when we've done our surveys, 74% of people have a mobile phone or share a phone, and then 99% of those are on prepaid.
Yes.
So they're getting recharge every couple of weeks and hoping that, you know, that keeps them going for the fortnight, but
well,
often it doesn't.
So could we say a couple of weeks, probably 3-4 days. I mean, credit don't last long. And so, yes, they're online, whether it be a week, 7 days, 10 days, whatever, but then they're offline till the next pay comes in or whatever the case may be. So, in a way, they're still in the dark, aren't they, Daniel?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're seeing, is that, you know, people are then, you know, having to wait until they can top up. So we're seeing that all those things that you need to do online nowadays, like, you know, do your banking, do your Centrelink reporting, do your, you know, connect up with family and friends, and, you know, even getting your entertainment, like people on YouTube and Netflix and all the rest, they have to wait around until they can top up before they can access all of that. And so, it, you know, what they're needing is more Wi-Fi coverage in communities to be able to access services.
And we're also talking about, you know, the frustration that kicks in, you know, whether you're doing your banking or whether you're getting education and regarding Auntie Google, whatever the case may be, it would be very frustrating. I mean, imagine people living in Sydney, in the cities, that have the same sort of access. They'd be pulling hair out of their heads, would they not?
Look, the frustration is on multiple fronts. Like, what we hear is that the mobile services are often really patchy, so it's hard to find, you know, good connection in places in the community. Sometimes it's hard to get it inside the house. It's also parts of the day where it's really slow and, you know, can't connect up. But some communities we go into, like pretty much the whole day, you can't connect because everyone's trying to download stuff at the same time, and it just is so overloaded that the system, you know, you can't even send a text in a place like Gallowinku at the top of Arnhem Land. You have to wait until after midnight to be able to do anything online.
Yeah, for sure. And look, we did have the so-called big companies, we were talking about Telstra and Optus, who basically all got a slap on the wrist because how they were operating with our mob out there in communities, remote. There probably needs a lot of work to be done in that space, and government needs to be at the table as well in regarding access to internet on an ongoing basis. Like I said, it is the 21st century and we live in a first world country.
Yeah, so as you say, you know, Telstra did get that big fine a few years back for unconscionable sales practice, and you would have thought that all the telcos would have, you know, improved their game. I think Telstra have done a lot to try and address those issues now. But Optus have just had the same, you know, they've just been slapped on the wrist for unconscionable sales practice, and we'll see, they might get a similar type of fine.
Exactly.
So, you know, this is selling services like phones and plans to people who can't afford them, and sometimes to places where there's not even coverage. So that all has to be stopped. But, you know, it is one of the reasons that people are using prepaid only now. They're really worried about being hit up with those ongoing bills and these plans that they just can't afford.
And well, should the government be doing a lot more in regarding coverage, internet poles or what have you, you know, to be done?
Yeah, so there has been quite a bit of work, and I think that's what we've seen in our research is there's been an increase in the number of people who can access the internet over the last 3 years. From, you know, what was 26% said they couldn't access the internet, that's down to 14%. That's a good improvement. But there's still, out of the 1,505 remote and very remote communities spread out around the country, 796 of those don't have mobile services.
Yeah.
And they tend to be the small communities and homelands. But we need other types of solutions in those places, so reliable Wi-Fi or other services that are going to meet their needs in those smaller communities.
So we're talking about closing another gap here, Daniel?
It's certainly a gap, and, you know, much as there's some improvements, I think, you know, the thing with digital inclusion, it's not just about having access to services, it's also having that affordability to use the services and then having the skills and the awareness of how to use them and what services are online and how to access those. So that digital ability part of the story is very much a part of making sure that people are digitally included. Yes. We do have a closing the gap target now, target 17, which we all worked together when I was at First Nations Media Australia. We all worked to get that target in place, and that's made a real difference in getting government engagement. Yes. We've now got a First Nation Digital Inclusion Advisory Group set up, giving advice to government to try and get good solutions in place. So work is happening.
Yep.
It just takes time for that to be implemented and for the money to start turning into real services in communities.
Well, the old saying, build it and they will come. So, yes, government need to come to the table. But, look, thank you for your yarns. And it's great to see the internet use is growing. But, yeah, we need to do a bit more about the costing to make it viable. But thank you very much, Daniel. All the best to you. And you take care, my friend.
Good to talk to you again, Trevor.
All the best. Bye-bye.
See you, mate.
Little yarn, Daniel Featherstone, his name is, study lead author. Internet use grows in remote First Nations communities, but still the cost is high in regarding that the services of internet. And, a lot of our mob use credit to be online, and that doesn't last long. He's talking about every 2 weeks you have to top up. But looking at my beautiful baby son there, he runs with it, and within 4 days, it's all gone, so it'd be hard there in communities. But that's the world we live in. So, yeah, the government needs to do a lot more, and also the big phone companies as well need to be operating in a safe space and a great platform that needs to be provided for our mob to be online. So there it is. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarnin with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM, Bummer Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly.
There's nothing I would rather be than to be an Aborigine and watch you take my precious land away. For nothing gives me greater joy than to watch you fill each girl and boy. Yeah.
up, shake it up, shake up, keep up.
God gave us 10 commandments, we know we are in form. Judgment Day is coming, we're always being warned. There's nothing I would rather be than to be an aborigine. And watch you take my precious land away. Oh, no, no, no. And watch you take my precious land away. Oh.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan, or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
What is greatness?
It's doing what makes you feel proud. What feels right for right now.
When you can study hands-on, all in, practical, professional,
personal. When you can learn local and give back to your community, you define your greatness. Find support of teachers who are there for you at TAFE Queensland. Make great happen. RTO 0275.
Station sponsor.
You're listening to National Talk Black.
One man came to tell them what they knew was wrong. He came from Maori Island, where his culture is law. 10 years he fought for justice, 10 years to stake his claim. Although his life is ended, his legacy remains.
Thank you.
fought for justice. 10 years to stake his claim. Although his life is ended, his legacy remains. No more, no more, no more. No more, no more, no more. No more, no more. No more, no more. No more, no more. No more, no
Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob. Let's talk space. Let's talk science. NASA calling new funding to fuel next Indigenous STEM stars. So there's more money at the table, which is fantastic. A substantial funding boost from the Australian government has renewed the Monash University National Indigenous Space Academy, NISA, call for stellar Indigenous STEM students to apply for an internship with NASA Propulsion Lab, JPL. Murray Breakney's jaw here. We're going to catch up a yarn with Professor Chris Lawrence, NISA lead. Professor, good morning. How are you, Brother Chris?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good. And good morning to all those listeners out there.
Too deadly. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Chris.
Well, I'm a Noongar. I'm Wajak Baladong from Noongar country in Western Australia. But I got mob up to the Pilbara and I got mob to the Goldfields. You know, mob, we got mob everywhere. And
that's right.
Why I had to run away and live in the East Coast so I can, find my loves. And enjoy my life too, but do all my studies. And so this is where I came.
Beautiful.
And I made home over in Sydney and in Melbourne.
Beautiful. Let's talk about your journey. Professor in what field, Chris?
Oh, I'm a professor in the Faculty of Information Technology.
Yes.
But I'm a professor in the Faculty of Engineering at Monash University.
Yes.
But my background really started in primary school teaching and also then went on to, I did a master's in applied epidemiology at ANU.
Yes.
And I also did my PhD in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health and epidemiology at the University of Sydney.
And now you're NISA lead, NISA, in regards to National Indigenous Space Academy. So, look, fantastic you in that position holding the reins there. And we're talking about the new funding to fuel our next Indigenous STEM stars. So tell us about this journey. And have we ever had a black astronaut? There's the goal, I would think, if that's the case.
Well, first I want to, thank the Australian government and the Australian Space Agency for believing in our program and believing in what we're trying to achieve and supporting us through this new funding. They gave us funding last year as well, and this year they've boosted that funding right through to 2027. So we're very grateful and obviously very excited about that collaboration with the Australian government and the Australian Space Agency. So, look, this program started back in 2019 when I set it up and collaborated with the NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory,
yes.
JPL, as they like to be called. So JPL is based in Pasadena, and it was NASA's first center that was set up back in the 1940s. And so, you know, these rocket scientists were blowing things up at the Californian Institute of Technology back then, and that's where Albert Einstein went, and it's a famous university. So Caltech is home to JPL, but, you know, they're funded 100% by NASA. And so this facility is a research facility. And so they offer, you know, obviously research goes on there. They build spacecraft and they do satellites and they do robots and rovers and planetary sciences and all space things, right? Everything space. And the thing is, like, I want to say to our listeners, you know, the Earth is part of space. We're part of the galaxy. We're part of the universe.
Yes.
And so we are part of space. And everything that we do, that we rely on now, we rely on, you know, our iPhones, and we rely on, I mean, you and I talking on the phone like this.
Yes.
That's all satellites.
Yes.
That's space. That's research. And so these are the things that, you know, that's not alien. No pun intended to...
no pun intended, alien. That's exactly too deadly. But at the same time, when you talk about our mob who are, you know, 60,000 years on planet Earth, we've been professors in all fields, and then we did create a stick that when you throw it, it comes back. We've got to be deadly. We've got to be up there, brother.
Well, look,
innovation.
Look, our people are the first scientists and technologists,
yes.
engineers, mathematicians,
yes.
you know, architects and medicine people. And as you say... And I say the same thing. If anybody can pick up a piece of wood and throw, make it come back.
Hello.
They've got to be innovative. And
that's
they're
scientific.
Still trying to figure out how our mob did that.
Exactly, exactly. And then they make aeroplanes, yeah, with wings that tell you.
From
the boomerang, you know it. And that's too deadly, my brother. And listen, so how does this work? Do you, the students, are they all at university? They're studying science and what have you. And do they lead into the NISA space, National Indigenous Space Academy, to work alongside NASA? Is that the journey? Is that the pathway?
Yeah, but well, they have to be enrolled in a university degree. That is, yes, science, technology, engineering, or math. And when I say technology, I'm talking about IT, information technology.
Yep, yep.
And so they have to be enrolled in one of those degrees, preferably in their second year as an undergrad, but also postgrad. So postgrads are people who are doing their masters or their PhDs.
And then they're going to need a vision for, like, to become an astronaut or to work in their space as such?
No. Well, look, obviously, yeah, we are looking for our first Indigenous Australian astronaut, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
But that doesn't mean that's what, you know, we want them to, you know, if they want to pursue that career, absolutely,
Good.
We will support them.
Yes.
But the internship at JPL is... a opportunity for them to learn more about space and research. They work on real-life space missions with, you know, space researchers. But they're basically learning how to become space explorers.
Sure.
And you can't just send people up into space. It takes a whole village to do that.
Yes, yes.
So there's all these other expertise that is needed on the ground and on Earth to create and make all that happen, right? So the role that people might play in this area could be, you know, doing coding and updating the software for different systems. Like two of our students, I think, or three of them have worked on over the last few years on software updating the oxygen system for the International Space Station and monitoring the quality of air and breathing for those astronauts up when they're up there. So these are life important, critical, equipment that needs to be built for these purposes. And our students, over the last, since 2019, you know, there's 13 students have come through this program so far. Next year we'll have 18, maybe 19 students that would have completed this internship. So
that's deadly.
Three of those students that went early students they went on to finish their PhD.
Yeah, beautiful.
And they went on to become Fulbright scholars. Two of them became Fulbright scholars. I was a Fulbright scholar back in 2008 and 2009.
Yeah.
And I went to Harvard University.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Signed up to do my part of my PhD research. So for me, I am passionate about these Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students to get their PhDs. If they want to be a space explorer, that's what they have to do.
Yep.
But that they don't have to do that if they don't want to do it.
No, but sure. But we're looking for the first black fella, you know? Yeah, so keep pushing, keep the goal out there. That's the vision. Look up, you mob.
That's right. But these students that are coming back with these incredible skills, it's life-changing for them.
Of course it is.
And they're coming back with these skills and experiences and new knowledge and that they can apply in any different fields that they choose to go down. You know, if they might become some of them are environmentalists, and so they can, you know, obviously apply what they learned over at JPL.
Yes.
And they also build their own networks. They build their connections, and you know, they continue to. I think some of them continue to stay involved and work on things. I know some of them, one of the early students, has continued that since finishing his PhD.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of years, a couple of the students started to on that PhD journey. And so, you know, it's a great opportunity for those students, even like, and obviously the undergrad students, they're still working it out, right, where they're going to be and what they want to do, but they get exposed.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then they start, and the seeds are planted. And then eventually when they get to those pathways, they can think about, okay, which path do I want to take?
Yeah. Well, the old saying, go a mile, see a mile, you know, and just creates that space for the mob, and which is fantastic. And like I said, we're looking for our first Indigenous astronaut, but let's get our black people educated and let's let them choose which path they take. But success breeds success, and I thank you for your yarn, Professor Chris Lawrence. You're too deadly, my brother, and I hear your passion. Too deadly.
Look, I believe in young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Yeah.
I believe that there is a future and an opportunity. I have a vision for them to be in this space to become that astronaut if they want to, if they choose to do it.
Yeah.
The pathway's there now. It's up to them. And I really, really believe our next generation, you know, we're going to be in solid hands. And so this is what it's really about, is building the next, and it's nation building.
Yeah.
And it is about building that next nation of Indigenous entrepreneurs and, industry people and researchers. And that's what this program is about. It is unique. It's the first world ever Indigenous, Space Academy. And NASA and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory are very proud to have that as part of their foundations as well. Obviously, we're standing on big shoulders. Those mob have been doing it for years and years and decades. So, you know, we're very honoured and privileged to be there.
Yeah, too deadly. Professor Chris, thank you for your yarn. You stay deadly, stay, well, I don't say warm because it's hot down there in Melbourne at the moment, but you keep smiling, my brother, and we'll be in touch, eh?
Thank you, Brother Trevor. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Deadly Yarn there, Professor Chris Lawrence, and NISA lead. NISA is National Indigenous Space Academy, working alongside NASA. And they are calling for, they've received funding. They're calling for to fuel next Indigenous STEM stars. So it's a potential funding boost from the Australian government and renew the Monash University National Indigenous Space Academy. So fantastic, an opportunity for our black scientists. And if not, we're looking for our first black astronaut. There's the platform. So grab the bulls with both horns. There it is. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country for your daily program, National Talk Black. It is your program. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, and based here at Bama Bripa Media, Cairns' first Indigenous radio station. And Yarn Up Strong, your mob, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Too deadly. Do you
peace enlightens me, and my spirit feels free. Oh, what a dawn. Hey, brother, just believe it. Hey, sister, you were standing there in it. In a brand new day. It's a brand new day. No use in feeling sad all the time. Forget your troubles, put your hand in mine. Walk with me into a brand new day. It's a brand new day. God's love will be your reward. But come on out with me, 'cause you know he set you free. So praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hey people, just believe it. Your children, you were standing there in it. In a brand new day. Your troubles, put your hand in mine.